Yes, good. Verse 13, Amplified Bible. He said, and we are setting this truth forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. What he was saying is that conveying spiritual truth by spiritual means. That's the point he was making. Like I said, in chapter 3, I will still come back and explain this. Now, this is what I wanted to note, verse 14. But the natural, I need to explain that word. He said, natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Now, please, I'll get back to this. Let me just jump down to chapter 3. There's a reason. I want to define some words. In verse 1, it says, but and I, brethren, don't forget what he said, a natural man cannot understand the deep things of God. He said, therefore, I, brethren, in verse 1 of chapter 3, could not speak to you as to spiritual men. That is, men who can understand the deep things of God. He said, but I spoke to you as men of flesh. New American Standard uses the word. King James uses the word carnal. Now, the meaning of the word carnal is what I want to explain. I just want to read through it. He said, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able. How do I know that? Because you are still fleshly, which is proved by the fact that you are walking like mere men. How is that demonstrated? That there's still division amongst you. Some say I'm of Paul, another Apollos, and then, you know, some say I'm of Christ, like we said earlier. And I said, what then is Apollos? Please, I'll come back to this. Let me just explain the difference between spiritual man, a natural man, and a carnal man. First, let's talk about a spiritual man and a carnal man. If you read the last part of verse 15, Paul said, however, we have the mind of Christ. And when he's talking about we, you can ask yourself, who is he talking about? There are two ways to answer it. Number one, he's talking about every Christian. That is actually correct and potentially true. Or it could be that Paul is talking about we who are able to understand the deep things of the Spirit, that we have the mind of Christ. Whichever one, at the end of the day, you see, it comes to the same thing. But this is the issue. Who is a spiritual man? No, let's start with a natural man. It's easier to understand that. A natural man is a person who is a natural person. You know what I mean by that? That is, an average person on the road is what you call a natural man. You remember what we said? There are how many senses that we use? Six, right? Five physical and one spiritual. When you're talking about senses, you see, you smell, you hear, you taste, and you feel. How many do we have there? Five, all right? And there is a sixth one. Now, which, please, let me try to understand. The Englishman says the sixth sense. That is things you know without feeling, hearing, seeing, touching, smelling, or tasting. But you know them all the same. And now this is a matter of fact. You know, in fact, this is what happens with my wife and I a lot. She will say something, and I will say the same thing at the same time. Other times, she will say something, and I will say, how did you know that was what I was going to say? I don't know whether you get my point. It's not coincidence. It happens too frequently to be coincidence. It's just that you are thinking, you know, I've explained that one to you before. You can communicate by spirit. Ed Cole said, there are three ways by which you communicate. He said, you communicate by word, by gesture, and by spirit. What do you mean by word? You know what I mean if I said come. And that is a word. I'm communicating by word. But I can also make you come by just doing this. Do you get my point? That's a gesture. I just moved my hand towards me. And, I mean, everybody learns that. You know, yesterday, my son entered the room and said, where is mom? I just did like this. And just by turning my head, instantly he knew. I said, mom is in the bathroom. You know, I just the movement was, I mean, less than 2 millimeters. I just did like this. And he just went to the door of the bathroom and gave the message he wanted to give. Now, that's gesture. We all learn it. Ed Cole said these are the three ways by which you communicate. Word, gesture. The third one, he said, is spirit. All right? And the interesting thing about spirit is that it actually is so real. And the more you communicate with somebody, the sharper you are, all right, in communicating with the person in spirit. I don't know whether what I'm saying is making sense to you. I remember the story I told you. Ed Cole was the one that opened my eyes to a lot of those things. That, you know, when I say this, it sounds like a joke. It sounds like a joke. If somebody thinks about you all the time, you know, let's assume that you work somewhere and there is a young woman in your office that really, she just likes you, you know, you can't explain it. No, it really helps. Sometimes, this is a matter of fact. Well, I'm saying, not a joke, okay? Before you even talk with the person, you can just be at home. You want to sing. The person's name just comes to your mind. I'm not joking about it. Why am I always thinking about the person? Let me tell you the simple truth. The person is thinking about you. That is why. It's like me calling your name. You follow my point? Outwardly, I can call your name and you hear my voice. In the spirit also, if I shout loud enough, you will perceive that I'm calling you. Are you getting my point? Has it not happened to you before? Somebody who you know very well. All right? You just remember, how's this guy? And your phone rings and he's the one. That is, you just thought about him and the phone rang. Take it from me. What happened was that, as he said, let me call Chike. In the spirit, you heard him call Chike. So you remembered him and the phone rang. No, it really happens, all right? Now, just talking about spirit. The spirit of a man, the Bible says, is a candle of the Lord. Now, God uses the spirit of a man. If you develop your spirit, actually, believe me, what people don't understand, they want to sit down and have their spirit talk to them. It can happen. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But most of the time, it just moves. If you realize how the thing is pervasive in your heart, that is how it's everywhere, it's easier for you to cooperate. It's not as if you have to stay and wait for a voice from your heart. Those voices, let's not discuss it now. It will carry us a bit too far. But the point is that you just thought about somebody you didn't think was a voice, but it's your spirit that heard the man calling you in the realm of the spirit. Now, so God leads us like that, actually. Sometimes you just say, I've not passed this place for a long time. You just turned and said to go and pass the place. You were supposed to pass this other road. You decided to pass this one. Now, why did you pass there that day? Because God had ordained for you to meet somebody. Do you understand? And the person is standing on that road. And the angel of God or the spirit of God now says, so you move towards this road. And then, of course, it won't come as a commandment in your heart. Move towards this road. You just say, now I don't think when I pass this side, that's what comes to your mind. Meanwhile, what God is saying is that though this one is shorter, I want you to pass through here because there's somebody I want you to meet. And again, please bear this in mind. You are not the only one that God wants to bless. All those leadings are not always leading for you to go and get something. Sometimes leading for you to go and give something. Somebody may be in distress and your passing there is what will solve his problem. You may just be driving by and you didn't think about it and maybe you never thought about it till now and you saw one woman standing beside her car. And she's lost thoroughly. The car has stopped. She doesn't know what is going on. And you just say, look at this woman. She's stranded. You stop. Mother, any problem? I said, this car just stopped. So let me see. Your battery head is loose. And you go there, you tighten it for her. You shut the bonnet. She starts the car, and the car drives off. And you continue, and you never remember this thing until I said it. The reason being that God wanted to bless that woman. And she looked around and said, who here will I use? Okay, Chicken normally drives through here. Let him drive through here. Fix her battery for her before he goes about his business. Do you understand my point? There's one book that my wife is reading now, From Witchcraft to Christ. That book, I told her that these are the things that helped me learn about the realm of the spirits. It's not a teaching book, just a testimony. Books like that, I Dare to Call Him Father, The Gentle Breeze of Jesus, God's Smuggler, little books. Okay, so they help us a lot. I read a story about the man who he was going. And his car suddenly stopped. It was somewhere in the United States. And his car stopped near a gas station. All right? A filling station. And he just managed to turn the car into the station and stopped to find out what's wrong with the car. Let me just cut a long story short. As soon as he stopped thinking, what could be wrong with this car? He saw a woman that appeared like she was in distress. And he walked up to her. Is there any problem? And, after small persuading, she spoke and told how she had to go. She was alone. Her husband had left her and she had to go. Her parents told her to come, all right, bring her kids, come and stay with them while she tries to find her feet back in life. All the money she had was what she was looking at. It was not enough to buy fuel to carry herself and her children down to the... You know, when Americans travel, they travel. That's not my point. Uh-huh. My brother-in-law told me when he left New York to go to Houston, he drove for 2 days. That means constant driving. Just sleep at night, get somewhere, eat, rest in the car, drive 2 days. Now, you understand the flight between Houston and New York is 3.5 hours. So, if you had to drive it, you get... No, here to Lagos is 50 minutes. You understand what I'm saying? So, you can imagine, he had cause for distress. It's not... So, that guy just looked at it, and, of course, he brought out his credit card, filled her tank for her completely, took her into the shop, bought food for the kids who were obviously hungry the way they devoured the food when he brought it out. At the end of the day, the woman asked him, are you an angel? He said, actually, it's Christmas season. Angels are very busy, so God had to use normal human beings like us. That the angels are very busy. And then, of course, the woman drove off. And he said he thought to himself, interesting, that he was so sure that he put his key back into his car and he knew for certain the car would start. And of course, he turned the thing started one hand and he drove away. And he knew it was just God had just stopped him there to help that woman. After that, he went on his way. Now, I like stories like that. It reminds you that spiritual things are really, really real. Is that okay? And let me just give you confidence. So don't be afraid. Things, terror that fly by day. You are marked. Nothing happens in life by accident. Get my point? You are marked. Before destruction started, he said, let the angels go out and go and mark, put a mark on the forehead of everyone who's been sighing and groaning because of the iniquity in this land. Anyone that you find the mark, God commanded, no angel of death must touch. Once you find the mark, do you get my point? Nothing happens by accident in life. No calamity. There's no random redistribution. Each person has a mark upon his head before they start. Please get that point very clear. The realm of the spirit, it's a very, very real thing. These things, they happen. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right. So have confidence when you are walking that your life is not a chance life. Do you get my point? The time you will travel, a friend of mine told me once, he was supposed to leave from, I think, Maiduguri, you know, somewhere in the north. Before he set out, he entered his car. He was about to set out. His mind was just so uneasy. The journey didn't feel good. After struggling for a while, he parked the car and said, I'm not traveling again. Next day, he read in the news, all these stupid foreigners that come to invade Nigeria and just kill people and raid. On that road that day, they killed multitudes, raided cars. Are you getting my point? That was the road he was going to travel. Before he set out, his spirit was just disturbed. The same young man said, last time this crash that crashed in Port Harcourt, that led from Abuja to Port Harcourt, he and his men, they were in Abuja for a training. He said, so that evening, just all these boys that came from Port Harcourt, all of you, oh yeah, on the plane, home now. You know, and Oga has given instruction, all of them had to leave. The next flight after that one those boys took was the one that crashed. If he had not ordered them to go, do you get my point? Many of them will have been on that flight the next morning. Do you get my point? Listen to me. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens by chance. Read this scripture every day. It said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because the Lord is with me. You get what I'm saying? He said, the angel of the Lord surround them that fear him and deliver them. As the mountains are about Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround his people. Elisha looked at the servant. He said, those who are with us are more than those who are against us. Do you follow my point? One of my friends, he was junior to me, he was a house assigned by the pie. He told me a story of one day, one night, he and his sister were coming from church. Those days when Lagos was very terrible. They came back from a program in church late at night. And as they just got to their door, somewhere in Maran Antony, they just drove up to their gate and horned. They didn't know that boys were around. The boys just walked up to them, all right, brought out their guns. He said, the sister wanted to share, just told her, don't worry, it's okay. Just after he said it, next thing they heard was police siren, and the boys got up and disappeared. And the siren too disappeared. Now, who blew siren? Do you get what I'm saying? Now, I heard another story, authentic gist of a woman who God wanted to deliver one morning. She came out of her house, a Catholic. She was going to early morning mass. And so she came out of the house very early in Surulere in Lagos. All right? And as soon as she came out, she didn't know thieves were hanging around. So, of course, they just walked up to her car. And they just saw two men appear wearing white suits. He said one was very tall and slim. The other one was short and thick. You know, they just walked up to her. The thief saw the two men and ran for their lives. And one of them just went, opened the gate, either for her to drive out properly or go back in. You understand? And the other one stood by her car. And when they were sure she was safe, she turned to tell them thank you, and they were gone. Listen, let me tell you stories to encourage your faith. My same friend I was telling you about, that one day he wanted to travel in the north, and then his spirit was just restrained, and he couldn't travel. He said one day, last time he came to my office in Enugu, he said one day, then he was fasting and he was very weak. He was driving a long distance and his official car had a flat tire. If you are traveling to the north, you know, if you are going from here to Onitsha, from here you go reach 9th mile. After 9th mile, Oji River. After Rejiva, you reach Oka. After Oka, you get to Amombe. After, you just be getting to, you don't even know when you leave human beings and you enter bush. You just people everywhere in the north. Oh boy. When you leave Guzo, maybe the next place you are going is Funtua. Oh boy, 300 kilometers now would they talk. After that, they will tell you, Isokoto, that is, look, if you read the Bible of wilderness, that's what is called wilderness. So. No, I'm telling you, your motor breakdown, just put a tent. It is good for us to make a tabernacle here. Just build the tent. Anyway, one of those days, he said his car broke down. Like that day, he had a flat tire. He was weak and tired. He came out, he looked at the car. As he was standing there in his weakened state, staring at it, one Aboki man, just one of these shepherds, full and headsman, just came out and said, "Ah, okay, your tire is flat." You know, spoke in Pidgin English. To him, it was shocking. This was deep in the north. The man speaks, if you've lived there, that man probably wouldn't even speak Hausa. When I stepped in Taraba State, a lot of the people I dealt with did not even, they spoke only Fufude. That's Fulani language. The man spoke English. Two of them just said, "No problem now." They told him to just stand back. Listen, they knew how to jack a car. They jacked the car out, changed his tires. Do you understand my point? Did everything and told him it is done. And he told them thank you. He entered his car. He said he remembered he had these crisp naira notes. So he took one of them. Let's assume then it was like 20 naira and gave it to the man. And the man took it. Next thing he looked, they had gone back into the wilderness of empty land. And he didn't see them again. He didn't think anything of it until he packed and saw his 20 naira back on his seat. He said he was he told him that day that was the first time he was repeating the story to anybody. It was frightening. For him, it was shocking. These guys came out of nowhere. He didn't see them. Next thing, just somebody was talking to him. Oh, just on the, okay, let's. They made him stand back while they changed the tire, two of them. They finished and they walked away. He gave them money. Next thing he looked, he didn't see where they walked into. But when he parked where he was going next, he looked, and the money he gave that man, he swore that it was not a mistake. He explained to me why he was sure he wasn't imagining things. That maybe like the notes were two. He gave the man one. One was still in his pocket, and the other one was just there on the seat through the window in which he gave a man money. Listen, you are not alone. That was what Elisha looked and told his boy. Why are you worried? The people who are with us, all right, are more than those who are against us. That's why Israel used to pray. They used to pray, "God, don't give us over to the hands of our enemies." That is, they know that it's not a matter of chance. God has to package us and deliver us. Do you get my point? That's why David said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." You know why it's important I talk like this? Because fear. When Jesus told Peter, "Come," was Peter able to come? Yes. But fearing, he sank. Are you getting my point? Therefore, it is important that we hear things like this so that we will not be afraid. Are you following my point? I will not be afraid. It's an important confession. You wake up in the morning and say, "I will not be afraid." When you hear stories, some people traveled at night, Amrabah just killed everybody. Say, "I will not be afraid." Because what Satan tries to do, all right, with all that talk, is to plant fear inside your heart. You yourself, you know your reaction when you finish hearing stories. You know, suddenly, like, those are the times you must rehearse testimonies. Say, "Lord, I will not be afraid." And you know the interesting part? It's not, you're not winding yourself. When you utter God's word, you know what happens? There is a spirit of faith that is poured into your heart. No, I'm serious what I'm going to say. That you hear something, and suddenly because you see, when that man prayed, "Help my unbelief," is not a joke. Go and read that, our Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. He said, "Let us draw near to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." If you go and read it in context, he was talking about being able to hold fast in faith in the face of difficult situations. So when you just pray, "God, look at things happening. My heart will trust in you. Help me to believe in you at all times and to trust with confidence in your protection." What God does, he just takes a bowl into the bowl of faith, into the pitcher of faith, whatever. Takes a scoop of it and pours into your spirit. Suddenly when you rise up, you are very confident. Where you couldn't go before, let us go. So what is it? They don't know. You just drank. It's like alcohol. You just drank. It makes you misbehave. Remember what we discussed last time? They don't know that's what happened. You just drank something. You know, we started this by trying to explain that there are different kinds of communication, spirits and the natural man. Uh-huh. The natural man is a man who has downplayed, all right, as a result of his learning and his iniquity, the impact, all right, of spiritual communications. Everything must be as is written on the surface. A man was going to come to Africa, from Europe. They warned him that those people are very superstitious. You know what I mean by superstitious? We go to church and we pray. Do you understand? That's what we call superstition. Something wants to happen, you bow down your head and you pray. Say, the man is superstitious. That's a vintage natural man. The Bible says he cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. That is why I don't argue with people who want to make a mockery. Do you get my point? No, God has given me that grace. I don't argue with people. You want to make a mockery of things of faith? Why should I talk with you? I give you statements as a matter of fact, if you like. Like Fela, you know, Fela says some very deep truths. He said, whether you like, you don't, or you not like. Right? He said, if you like, it's good. If you not like, you hang. That's my principle. If I speak, if you don't like it, go and buy a rope, throw it, hang yourself. And according to Fela, if you hang, you will die. And you will die for nothing. He said, on top of that, we'll carry your body to police and say you die wrongfully, wrongful death. No. No, believe me, that's the principle. That's the principle. One of my classmates then, I wrote in one of my books, he told me that I saw me reading the Bible or something. He said, you believe that God created you? I said, yes. He said, listen, my friend, your father married your mother and they gave birth to you. I said, is that so? So you believe your mother gave birth to you? I said, how did you know? Were you there? I said, you were not there. They told you that this is your mother. You were small, of course. Physically, your body was there, but did you have the mind to be present? I said, listen, my friend, you and I are as foolish as one another. You believe what you are told. Me, I was told that God created me. I believe it also. Yes, it's a matter of fact. I said, listen, you believe what you were told. No, be so. Me too, I believe what I was told. What's his name? This guy. Aldo Bishamak. He said, one day a man came to him and said, no, preacher, you want to tell me that you believe that a fish swallowed Jonah? According to us, the relationship back, he turned to the man. He said, brother, I believe it because the Bible says so. And if the Bible said that Jonah was the one that swallowed the whale, I will believe it too. Now, what I'm trying to say is that the Bible says that natural man cannot. It's not that he does not. He doesn't have the ability. It is not within him to receive the things of the Spirit because faith, oh my God, how do I explain this? There is something about intuition with faith. You believe and you don't even know yourself why you believe. Do you get my point? There is something inside you, something I will sit down. All right? I consider some of the things I say publicly and boldly and ask myself, Banky, how do you know these things? If I turn to myself, you know, I really don't know. I tell my wife, I said, God has caused my heart to believe. I said something to us about 2 Saturdays ago, that we are playing a role in a play that God wrote before we were born. Are you getting my point? And listen, my part in life, where God has fitted me, is that I am a man of faith. Do you get my point? Once you reach out to God, say, you want to work with me, say, yes, then you have to believe this thing. Now, when I say believe, not struggle to believe. It takes faith and pours it into you. Say, walk. That's, you are walking in faith. When I wrote that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. Okay? When I wrote that, what happened was, in my heart, I suddenly understood how great faith comes. That's not by struggling. It's not even that I have read so much Bible. A lot of people who read the Bible read it professionally. Remember, professionally. Yes, just read it and it's a book. Like you read William Shakespeare. There are those who are Shakespeareans. You know what I mean? They just read Shakespeare. They know Shakespeare inside out. All the acts and the scenes. They know everything. Who said what? In which book? Some people, that's how they read the Bible. You understand the principle? Uh-huh. So it's not just that. It's that you have a heart that reaches out to God. Are you getting my point? And because of that, all right, God helps you because you need the help of God in everything. That's a matter of fact. How did Cornelius believe? God looked at all his labors and said, this is a good man. Hey, you, help him believe. If an angel appears to you, you say, if you go believe. Do you understand my point? Yeah, it was God that helped him believe. An angel appeared, said, call Peter. And Peter too came speaking plenty of revelations that happened also. When the angel was talking, another angel was talking there. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then as Peter began to preach, the Holy Spirit was poured upon the whole household. Oh boy, if you don't believe after that, devil must be your personal friend. You get what I'm saying? So God helps people, all right? So I'm saying something that there's a spiritual communication. God pours things in through the Spirit. But when a man has deadened his heart completely, The Bible calls him a natural man, and he's unable. Your arguments don't make sense. He cannot believe. He cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. He said the reason is because they are foolishness to him. He cannot. That's the word he said. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. There is an intuition. That's how Derek Prince explains this, that there is an intuition. There's an intuitive part of it which God only can help you with. Are you getting me? So that's a natural man. What is a carnal man? Before we describe who a carnal man or a fleshly man is, we have to understand that the Christian is not supposed to be a natural man. What is he supposed to be? A spiritual man. What is a spiritual man? When Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he became natural. That is, all this information, the emphasis was now on what we can experiment, what we can experience, not that which is thrown into our hearts by God. Do you understand? So the opposite would have been, if he had eaten of the tree of life, he would have discovered the understanding of God flowing into him. Of course, experience will help him understand, but the basic thing is that God will be teaching him his ways. Let me explain something. I said something the other day about how Solomon became such a wise man. Solomon did not become wise, all right, because he learned the principles of wisdom. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was because he asked God for wisdom. And you know, the interesting part, my experience in life has taught me that this is how it used to work. Solomon did not even know how he was going to judge before the case came. Do you follow what I mean? The wisdom is inside him. Then when a case will come, then he will judge correctly. It's just inside him. Once you bring up the matter, wisdom just comes out and solves the issue. That is, there is a flow between the Spirit of God, all right, and Solomon's spirit that just helps him receive what God is passing to him. Do you follow the point I'm making? All right. Now, so a spiritual man has a communication with the realm of the Spirit, which is what is supposed to be for the life of every believer. Now, let me just say this briefly. You will see that for most people, okay, there is a balance. What I mean by balance is that there's like a battle. There's being carnally minded and then being spiritually minded. A Christian kind of waves, you know, amongst the two. The natural man is permanently, does not wave. Is all time two-wheel drive. You know somebody all time maybe now front-wheel drive. But then the spiritual man, you know, is supposed to be all time four-wheel drive. You know what I mean? Just there. But there are those that are sometimes four wheels, sometimes two wheels, sometimes four wheels. Now, Paul said it like this. A carnal man, all right, is the Christian who is supposed to be spiritual, but he's behaving like a natural man. He's not a natural man. He has believed in Christ Jesus. His spirit is alive and is communicating with the realm of the spirit. But you look at him, you see most of his decisions, most of his life is explained by the natural side. Are you getting my point? You know, I was sharing with my wife the other day. I said, you see, something led to it, and I just brought up an issue. There are issues in life. You know what they call pride? Before I talk about pride, look at what Paul was saying there. He said, how do I know that you are still carnal? He said, there are divisions amongst you. One man is, you know, that's why I'm bringing up the issue of pride. Either he feels superior to the other person, okay? He feels he knows something the other person doesn't know. He thinks he's better than other people, you know? So, I am of Paul. I'm of Harvard. You know what I'm saying? My MBA is Harvard. Yours, your own. You don't get MBA from that side, you know? There's division because of a wrong perception of self. That's what I'm trying to explain. James will tell you that what have you that you did not receive? Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, you discover that a man that has real understanding can never be proud. That's what I'm trying to explain. That is, if I have something, it is because God gave it to me. You know? That is, and when I say God gave it to me, it's not as if it's not mine, I'm better than other people. It's like God said, hold it for me. Do you follow my point? You remember the story of the elephant and the rat? They were good friends. The mouse and the elephant. And the mouse used to sit on the ear of the elephant, and they'll be talking to each other, they'll be whispering in the ears. Then one day they had to cross the bridge, and the elephant would take a step, you know, the whole bridge would shake. When they got to the other side, the mouse looked back and said, "Now, wow, we shook that bridge, man. We shook the bridge." That is, we shook the bridge, of course. The elephant doesn't have to start arguing about who shook the bridge and who did not shake the bridge. You're hanging them near my earlobe and talking and say, "We shook the bridge." A good man, you know what I mean, understands that it's a matter of we shook the bridge. God has shaken the bridge, but we're riding with him, so we shook the bridge. So really, The guy can't brag anywhere else that I'm the one that did this or I'm better than other people. I'm bringing out something. That you see that good understanding, because that's one thing. When you understand the way things work in the realm of the spirit, then pride is knocked out of your life. Even covetousness. For example, a lot of people are covetous. The problem is that they are afraid. You know, when you see people misbehave, I told you before, there's what the Bible calls root, and there's fruit. It tells you about the root of bitterness springing up, you know, defiling. Do you understand my point? You said the fruit of the spirit is, that is, when you find a fruit, there is something you can't see. When you see a man misbehaving, he's aggressive, he's covetous, he's a rogue, he lies, he cheats, he tries to get from everybody. You say, oh boy, stealing is bad. He knows. Don't take what is not your own. He knows that he should not. Do you get what I'm trying to say? He said, look, lying doesn't help you. The fellow knows. What you have not seen is that he is afraid of tomorrow. Do you get what I'm trying to say? All these behaviors outside is because of what? Fear of tomorrow. You are trying to counsel him. You don't understand that this. You know, in the way I like to say that, when an adult, 2 + 2 is equal to 4. He said, no, it's 5. He said, please let me explain. 1, 2, you know, put it aside. Another 1, 2. Let's count it together. 1, 2, 3, 4. He says 5. No, ask my wife. I practice that now. There's no point arguing. You know the fact? He has hidden 1 somewhere in his pocket and he's not telling you about it. He doesn't want to disclose it. He said, look at it. Now, this is the best way to do this thing. He said, let's look at it another way. The fact is that there is something he's considering that you don't know. The man who's bustling, he's not. He said, look, sleep, take it easy, stop lying, stop cheating. Oh boy, he has considered. This was how my father used to relax those days. And he became poor. I know how we struggled as young men. No, my children must not suffer like that. You see, you don't know what's driving different people. When I'm talking to my students, I jokingly tell them, but it's a matter of fact. I said, you see, Tony Braxton, dress, come out almost naked. Say, they are doing Grammy Awards. And I said, you now go out tomorrow and go and copy Tony Braxton. You don't understand that she's depressed. She's begging for approval. You, that you are happy and you have the joy of the Holy Ghost, you are following a confused person. No, it's true. You don't know. You see one man just come out. The gold on his chest, you know. It's like the shield of Goliath. You know what I'm saying? And you think, yeah, man, the guy is... No, all his life, police have always been beating him. Do you get my point? If he comes out, they check him, whether he's carrying drugs. He's a black man in LA. Do you follow the point I'm making? Finally, he became rich. Ha! So he decided to use the annual salary of a police officer in that same LA to buy gold, to show the policeman that look at the... And you sit down, JJ, nobody has ever harassed you. Do you follow me? Nobody's disturbing you. You have no problem with anybody. You now start saving all your money to look like Snoop Doggy Dog. You don't know what I'm telling you. You don't know what pursuing each person. Look, this life. You'll be copying. You could just look. You look at Michael Jackson. Does he look happy to you? You see a confused man. What do you want to look like? You know the person I like most in life? You don't know the person. I like Banky, Pastor Banky. I love that fellow. I dress like Pastor Banky. I talk like Pastor Banky. you know what I'm saying? Yes, I just like me. I like me. I'm okay. My wife likes me, so is your problem if your own wife does not like me? May your wife like you. Yes. It's true. I'm not going out to dress so that one young woman outside will like me. No, the person that needs to like me is at home. Do you follow the point I'm making? One day, I made a joke with my mom one day. She said she didn't. Then we used to go to the gym, bodybuild, carry weights and stuff. Then we used to use bulwarker and blocks and stuff. No, we didn't go to a proper gym. We just had our own small gym. So one day I came home. And my mother saw this guy. What's going on? Then I'll go and play one of my friend's house. You know, we had different bulwarkers, different springs. So one day she sat me down and said, Kole, I want to talk to you. I said, Mom, what is it? Say, this is your muscle building thing. I don't like it. I said, is that why we are sitting down here? To talk, you know, man to woman, you know what I mean? Mother to son. Say, I don't like it. I said, you don't like it? So? Mommy, please, am I your husband? I said, Mommy, if my father bodybuilds, go and tell him you don't like it. As for me, he doesn't concern you at all. I said, when I get back to school, then I was on campus. As if the sisters in my fellowship say they don't like it, I might consider stopping, Sha. I told her, I said, but mommy, let's look at it now. You have your own husband. I'm going to be somebody else's husband. Why are you concerned about what I look like? That's it, though. Yes, you know. What am I trying to explain? That you see, sometimes people are copying people. You don't know what's driving a man inside him. Now, back to where I started from. I think, look, so when you look at pride, a man misbehaving, that's what the Bible calls fruit. 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 Not the root. The root. Do you get my point? The root is a different matter. A man who is misbehaving, you may find that inside him, the root is rejection. Nobody loves him. The root is that he's afraid of tomorrow. A spiritual man, God communicates understanding to him. And he says that your bread will never fail and your water will be sure. Do you get my point? He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because the Lord is with me. The man looks and knows that no matter what I lay up on this earth, it can vanish in a second. So the point I'm making is this. You find out that so spiritual communications, all right, actually cures the outward bad character in people. Do you understand what I'm going to say? So it says that who is a carnal man? The carnal man is a man who is not receiving information spiritually, though he's supposed to because he's of faith in Christ Jesus, because he has given his life to Christ, he's supposed to be a child of God. You understand the point? But he's getting his information from another side. You understand the principle? He's getting his information from the flesh. Paul says, this guy is still of the flesh. He's carnal. He's not a natural man because he has believed. A real natural man cannot believe. If he has believed, then he's supposed to be a spiritual man, but he's still behaving like a carnal man. Are you getting my point? And I use all this story to explain that you see all the divisions, all right, amongst them. A man may be divided, you know, for networking purposes. You know, by networking purposes. You know, if you're in this man's camp, that's where the deal is flowing from. But when you are giving him understanding that he knows simply that what is mine is mine. It is my own. It can't go anywhere. Nobody, wherever I am, it will come to me. You know, he's not so bothered about whether I'm in somebody's camp or I'm not. Are you getting my point? So Paul said, the proof I have that you are still walking as mere men is that I have found out that you are divided. From next time, I will explain what he meant. We'll talk about the power of grace a bit. No, he said, what then is Apollos, verse 5? What is Paul? He says, servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Or God was giving the increase. I like that expression in King James. He says, so then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. Now from verse 10, he now begins to talk about those who are the workers in God's field. And I will develop that one beginning from next time. Is that all right? We'll continue from there next time.